You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everybody. It's hour number two of tonight's live three-hour broadcast for Saturday evening, May the 10th. Keith Alexander's back in the saddle tonight. I don't know if any of y'all picked up on that there in the opening 60 minutes. We are going to be covering a lot of news this hour. I promise you that. It's going to be coming at you hard and fast. But before we do, we want to take a call from a dear friend who was attempting to get through towards the latter part of the first hour, and he's been on ice, and he's iced no more. Matt the Copperhead calling from New York. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm excellent. Good evening, Cesspool families, my dear friends in Bluff City. How are you all doing?
We're all right. How are you doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm fair to middling. Doing pretty good, actually. Wow, if I may, can I stay on the healthcare subject a little bit here?
Absolutely. Give us your take.
I do my weekly perusing of the Council of Conservative Citizens website and found an article that kind of floored me a little bit, as many of the articles would do. And that's what happened to a white person in one of these nursing home care facilities. She was racially abused by an African immigrant and a Puerto Rican lady, and physically abused, emotionally abused, and verbally abused. And I'm sure these kind of incidents just are rife within the industry at large.
Well, I have no doubt about that, Matt.
I mean, we have to start demanding diversity in healthcare. If you go to any of these hospitals, and I know for a fact that if you go to Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're not going to see diversity in the staff. Or if you go to Paragould, Arkansas, to the main hospital there, you're not going to see diversity in the staff.
And you mean because it's 100% black, correct?
Yes, sir.
I know where you're going with that.
And on the nursing home subject, I mean, it just brought me back to, even the Jewish pundit in Shock Jock, Howard Stern, used to threaten his family and his mother and father with, "I'll put you in the darkest, blackest nursing home if you don't behave." And it just brought me back to thinking that, I mean, who in their right mind would, wants their loved ones in a situation like that?
Well, I mean, having had grandparents go through the process of dying, and, they do predominate for whatever reason in healthcare here in Memphis, at least. And that's not to say that there aren't some of them that take their job seriously and do a good job. But I mean, I had a great grandfather who sadly had to be put in a nursing home, and every horror story you could imagine wouldn't even quite fit the bill of what the reality was there. And yes, but see, You talk about this, and if it's 100% non-white, they would say that that is very diverse, but it's certainly not a representative sampling of the population at large. And it's not to say that there aren't, white candidates that wouldn't want some of these jobs in the health industry that come with insurance and competitive pay.
Right, exactly. And I think a lot of them are, are just skewed from, basically stay away from the industry when they see who their coworkers would be and the environment they would have to work in. But there has to be some way. I mean,
another problem, Matt, is that they pay these jobs so poorly oftentimes that, regardless of who gets it, they don't really have their full attention and their best efforts. We need to make sure that people that are paid to care for our loved ones at the end of their lives are, top-notch professionals in every way, and that is regardless of what their race, color, or creed would be. But we need to get people hired that are, you know, certified, qualified, and we're not paying them, you know, minimum wage or shortly above that to do this work. When you do that, I don't care what the race of the people are, you're not going to get the type of people that you would want taking care of your loved ones.
Well, if you're talking about caregivers at a nursing home, yes, that is bottom of the barrel, and you're talking about not much more than minimum wage, but nurses are paid very well, and they are paid very well, and sometimes you see this happening in the nursing industry too. But I guess the word of advice for everyone out there is to not get sick or die suddenly, and then that's about the only way you're going to die very suddenly, or just don't ever get sick. Or live forever, and you will probably be able to absolve yourself of some of this stuff.
And if you think things are bad now, I predict they will only get worse under Obamacare.
Right. I believe so also. Well, you know, there might be a third option here of, you know, I always say the jobs that Americans won't do, quote-unquote. Well, why do they necessarily have to be replaced with someone from a third-world country? Why can't we import some people from Poland, the Ukraine, even South Africans that were willing and able and educated to do this kind of work?
Why not exactly? That's a very good question. I guess that's a rhetorical question. If people don't know the answer, they haven't been listening to this show very long. But at any rate, Matt, thanks for calling in. I'm glad that you made it back home to your home state of New York after your extended tour of the South, and we'll look forward to seeing you back down here, hopefully this fall.
Absolutely, or sooner. Hopefully.
There you go. Amen.
Well, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
We're certainly going to try, and thanks for your support. Keith, a final word, a parting shot on that? You want to keep on rolling?
Let's roll.
We're going to keep on rolling. All right. Well, I don't have a lot of time to get into this next door, but we'll set the table, and then we'll really dive into it after the first break of this hour. But wrap your minds around this, ladies and gentlemen. And there was an incident like this in my book, Racism, Schmacism. But I guess I should first of all say that May 5th is a very busy day. A lot of things going on May 5th. For starters, as I mentioned last week at the top of the show, May 5th is my wedding day, or was my wedding day, and is my wedding anniversary. We celebrated 8 years last week, or earlier this week, on May the 5th. It was my grandmother's birthday. It is the birthday of one of my best friends growing up, one of my childhood friends, May 5th. Also, of course, Cinco de Mayo. And Cinco de Mayo, of course, is just another quote-unquote holiday that stupid Americans use as an excuse to get drunk. And I say stupid Americans because most Americans are stupid.
And furthermore, Mexicans don't celebrate.
Mexicans don't celebrate it, and they don't need that day to get drunk because they got the other 364 days. But here's the thing. Why would anyone of the dispossessed majority want to celebrate Cinco de Mayo? I mean, it celebrates the victory of the Mexican army over the French, for starters, but it's just another made-up holiday. I mean, people drink on St. Patrick's Day, too, but they don't have any idea who St. Patrick was or what his significance is, and has nothing. Yeah, just another drunken holiday. But, all right, here's the thing. American students at an American public high school in America were forced to cover the American flag on Cinco de Mayo because it offended Mexican students there, presumably at that school illegally. We'll talk more about it right after this.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, as advertised in the last segment, so this is what it's come to now, folks. In America, at a California public high school near San Jose, five students were forced to remove their T-shirts, which featured the American flag on Cinco de Mayo. This particular event actually occurred 4 years ago, but it was back in the news again this week because a silent protest was held outside of this California high school in question in response to the Cinco de Mayo event 4 years earlier, in which school officials asked five students to remove their U.S. flag T-shirts, according to the Morgan Hill Police Department. A lawsuit was filed by the parents of these students. The lawsuit was dismissed by judges from the Ninth Circuit Court, which is, of course, the most liberal court in the country, Court of Appeals, in February of this year. It took 4 years to get a ruling, okay? Ruling that student safety trumps the students' First Amendment rights, according to documents published on the website for the court. Now, I want you to pause for a moment, folks, and think about how profound of a statement that is. Judges in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the safety of the five students who wore T-shirts with the American flag on it, their safety was in peril for doing nothing more than wearing those shirts at a public high school. So they were, their safety was in peril because obviously the Mexican students took offense to that flag being shown. The students were accused of being troublemakers, wanting to start trouble, and not promoting the unity in that school by wearing the flags. That's what one of the parents said. Tensions between Mexican-American students is something that the community has seen before. You can read the entire article on our website. But this is what we have said before, what I have said before, is that the history of race relations can be summed up in one word, and that word is conflict. If you can't even go into an American high school and wear the American flag, then what are things coming to? And it's like the old poem says, first they came for the Confederate flag, and I said nothing because I wasn't a Confederate. Isn't that the way that poem starts? I don't think it's quite like that. But make no mistake about it, these illegal aliens are not coming here to assimilate. They're not going to become good little Republicans. They're coming here to colonize. And if you don't believe that, if you live in Memphis, you can go over to Wells Station High School, that area. Check it out. You tell me if you feel like you're still in this country. This is what's going on, folks, and it's scary. I wrote about one instance in my book where someone, I believe in a nursing home, we were talking about healthcare earlier, I believe it was in a nursing home, had one of the tenants or residents there had an American flag in their window, and I believe it was up in Oregon, of all places, and the American flag had to be removed. So, yeah, if you think that this inundation of immigration from the third world is making for a more peaceful society. And listen, I do believe in diversity. I believe every culture has a right to exist, and I believe that there's a place on this planet for all people to thrive. But it doesn't look like the melting pot is still working, does it, Keith?
No, there isn't any attempt. These people, unfortunately, in the current generation are not coming here to melt into America and become American citizens. They just want to reproduce their own culture under more prosperous circumstances here in America. This area you were talking about, Wells Station in Memphis, I know there is a business there, some type of tire business, that has all of its signage totally in Spanish. And it's more or less defiantly saying, we don't want any non-Hispanic customers. In fact, I've heard the people at this business say that. Now, what if the shoe were on the other foot? What if you had an Anglo business person who said he didn't want any Hispanic customers? I guarantee you the Justice Department would be on him in a thrice, right?
Well, you're exactly right. And this is, you know, the great double standards and the great hypocrisies with regards to who is allowed to celebrate and have pride in their group identity and who isn't. But, I mean, the fact that this is going on, I'd like to see. And listen, I don't encourage, and I would be against Americans going down to Mexico and doing this exact same thing if the situations were inverse or if it were a negative image of what's happening here in this country, you know. And I could not see the Mexican government or the Mexican school systems accommodating the malcontents. But let's take a call from the state in question, California. Let's go to Don in California. Don, you're on the air.
Yeah, greetings from behind the lines in Mexican-occupied California. And I say it only facetiously because the Mexican flag is the only flag that can be displayed here without threats of physical violence being brought to bear against someone. This kind of thing, these racially motivated and nationally motivated infringements on students, primarily white students, has been going on for many, many years here in California. It's taken the face of physical violence against white children by Mexican gangbangers. And I'm a lawyer out here, and I've been involved, I've been consulted by a number of people and been involved in a number of instances where white students were threatened with physical violence. Mm-hmm. And the school administrations out here do absolutely nothing to defend them. There is no political price to be paid for defending racially motivated violence against white children. There are only political liabilities to be incurred and political punishment to be incurred for standing up for the rights of white children. You said you think that you believe in diversity and every culture and every race has a right to its own place on the planet. There's only one race that doesn't, and that is the white race. And they're being squeezed out of California. Diversity simply means the disappearance of white people through various forms of ethnic cleansing. There's economic cleansing whereby they steal all the jobs, and there's even physical cleansing whereby they initiate racially motivated violence. A number of the local talk radio shows occasionally talk about illegal immigration, and they have a segment where people can call in who are planning to move out of the state of California because of illegal immigration, and the lines are plugged with people calling in and saying, we can't stand it here anymore. And one of the most prevalent complaints is the fact that public schools are completely off limits to white children. The quality of academic performance is absolutely in the toilet. And of course, there is the problem of racially motivated violence against white children who have the misfortune to be trapped in those schools. And that's all over the state of California. Keith Alexander has talked very very effectively about the hidden tax on white people who have children and how white people are forced to limit the number of children they have to the number they can afford to educate privately or to homeschool, and that is no more true than here in metropolitan Southern California. White people are an endangered species here, and we are rapidly being completely squeezed out.
Don, what a
future in California for white people.
What a call. I mean, what a call. A phenomenal commentary. That's as good as anything we can produce, if not better. Obviously, an intelligent listener of the Political Cesspool calling in tonight from California. And you're exactly right. And I think, folks, if you have any doubt that one day it is a very real possibility that America will face the same fate that we've seen in Europe, the balkanization of America, culturally speaking, California is already there. Politically speaking, it's still technically American land, but you look at some of the things happening there, and it is not unrealistic to think that at some point during our lifetimes, the state of California, as well as other states in the American Southwest, will secede and be re-annexed by Mexico, or perhaps become their own nation, but it won't be a nation in the image of our fathers or in the tradition of the American experiment as we knew it growing up, or not, perhaps not me being born in the 80s, but some of the older listeners of this audience. But yeah, and Don, I can't disagree with one thing that you said. I can only echo your comments and say that you're right on target. And talking about what's going on in California with flags, I've got a quick caveat to add to this after the commercial break, and then we're going to talk about a story. Not liking Mexican food is also racist, according to the residents of California. I guess we might stay in California for the rest of this hour because it seems as though all of our content is coming from there. A precursor of things to come across the country if we don't stop the third world invasion. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
The conversation we just had during the commercial break was every bit as good as anything you've heard on the air tonight, and somehow that's the way it goes. You get into a rhythm, a commercial break comes up, and we just keep on talking. I say unfortunately, you don't get to hear it, but... Good stuff. And, you know, the thing is, as I was saying just before the break, on one hand, I do admire the fact that these Hispanic people have such a strong identity of who they are and what their culture is that they don't let it go when they come here. But the thing is, they shouldn't come here if they're not going to try to the best of their ability to assimilate. And... listen, I am for stopping immigration, legal and illegal. The problem with immigration is not that they're coming over illegally. It's that they're coming over at all right now. We have more than we can assimilate. We've got more than we can deal with. They're a drain across the board, certainly on the welfare rolls more often than not. It's just a big, big problem for so many reasons. But they do have a healthy sense of group identity, and I wish we could learn that lesson from them. Unfortunately, we don't, or at least we haven't yet, not to the extent that we need to preserve the America that we once knew. But talking about California, we were, of course, sharing earlier the story out of a high school near San Jose where the American flag itself has now become taboo or a symbol of divisiveness, a symbol, you know, if you wear it, you're not there to foster unity among your student body. This is an American public high school. You're talking about the American flag. Well, California just in recent days has passed state legislation banning the sale of Confederate flags. This is the state of California, you know. What about freedom of speech, freedom of expression? The story out of Sacramento, California state government departments will be prohibited from selling or displaying items with an image of the Confederate flag under a bill that passed the assembly on Monday. Assemblyman Isidore Hall out of Compton is headed to the Senate after passing on a 72-1 vote. Apparently this was a piece of legislation that this assemblyman introduced. It passed 72-1. Hall introduced the bill after his mother saw replica Confederate money being sold at the state capitol gift shop. He said, of course, that Confederate money was a symbol of racism. I mean, you know, first of all, you know, when you're electing people that have no better sense of history than somebody like this, you're asking for trouble from the get-go. But only one lawmaker voted against the bill. It was 72-1. One lawmaker voted against the banning of Confederate flags being sold in the state of California. And it just so happened to be a man by the name of Tim Donnelly, who is a leading Republican candidate for governor. And he said something very simply. We shouldn't be here picking the kind of speech that we like. I'm standing here defending the principle that the First Amendment should apply in all state buildings of all places. The bill originally banned all sales of Confederate flag memorabilia on state property. In explaining the provision, Hall said he saw a sign at the fairgrounds depicting a Confederate flag with the phrase, "It's still my American flag." On the other hand, in good news, you have to leave California to find good news, but some states have gone in the other direction. The story reads, earlier this year, Georgia approved a specialty license plate featuring the Confederate flag. Thank you, Georgia. And, of course, not too long ago in Mississippi, they voted to keep the Confederate flag as part of their state flag, and it passed by an overwhelming majority, and I believe even the majority of blacks in Mississippi voted for that. I could be mistaken, but I do believe it was about 10 years ago, maybe plus that. I believe I read that at the time. So anyway, you know, look, the noose is tightening, folks, on freedom of speech, freedom of association. You know, when you get to the point where even the American flag has become a symbol of extremism or racism or something that is promoting discord in a public high school of all places, you know, I keep going back to the story because it is just so profound. The American flag of all things, well, here they come. And don't the anti-white minions always do this? They, you know, continue to redraw the line. It's not just Nathan Bedford Forrest anymore. You know, George Washington, we've covered this story on the Political Cesspool. There was a gathering of, I believe it was blacks in Washington, D.C., and they gathered at a place that had a statue of George Washington, and they covered up George Washington. They boarded him up because, you know, he was just an evil white racist who was out to oppress them. At some point, you got to stand up. You know, it's not hatred to have heroes, good, decent heroes. You know, there isn't an American today who could stand up to the likes of a Robert E. Lee. You know, the Confederate flag is too good for the state of California. Maybe it's a good thing that they're banning it there. I'd hate to see it sullied by being flown in such a state. But this is, they continue to creep. Do we have enough time to play that sound clip, Sam? Could we work that in before the end of this break? All right, we're going to go with it right now. Mark Dice, you know, he does these man on the streets interviews in California. Well, he did one recently in which he asked people if they believed that John Boehner should be punished for having made the remark that he doesn't like, particularly like, Mexican food. Let's listen to what some of the people had to say.
What do you think about these Republicans, their racist statements? John Boehner said that he doesn't like Mexican food. Should we tolerate such bigotry?
No.
Do you think maybe we should push, he should be pushed out of Congress for such racist statements?
Well, I think people in his district should consider voting for somebody else.
Have you heard these racist comments from John Boehner that he doesn't like Mexican food?
No, I haven't.
Should we tolerate something like that in today's society, such bigotry in the Congress?
I wouldn't say so.
Do you think we should tolerate that bigotry, or do you think maybe he should resign from office for making such racist comments?
I think he should resign.
He should resign.
Yeah, it's enough for him.
So enough far. Of him not liking Mexican
we
food.
We like to try new
yeah.
experience.
We need a speaker who likes Mexican food, right?
Yeah, sometimes we need to change.
Do you support Obama's calling for John Boehner to step down over his racist comments about not liking Mexican food made on Cinco de Mayo of all days?
I don't.
Should that kind of racism be tolerated today?
No, I don't really think so. No, I don't think that kind of racism.
He yeah, should definitely step down. Yeah, what is he talking about, not liking Mexican food? That's an obviously, you know, can't have a Speaker of the House that doesn't eat Mexican food. He's obviously a racist.
He should get out of there anyway.
He should get out. Yeah, we should support Obama's decision.
Yeah. Especially when everybody likes it.
So you would agree with Obama that that's a coded racist term on Cinco de Mayo, nonetheless.
Anybody that still thinks racist, man, they're in the dark ages still.
Yeah. You're not eating Mexican food in the New World Order.
Period, man. No
you are a racist.
Your taste
buds are racist.
They'll make racist no matter what, man. If you're part back in the ages, you're going to make racist comments no matter what.
On Cinco de Mayo, saying he doesn't eat any Mexican food of all the days, what an insult to the Mexican people. Fort Obama's decision to have Boehner step down or maybe be you know punished for making racist comments about not eating Mexican food on Cinco de Mayo.
I think that he should take a stand, and he should take it swiftly. So,
get Boehner out, get that racist SOB out of there.
Just get the person out, and then make an example of it, and then that way, he's at least taking a step towards eliminating those comments in the future from people that may feel like they want to say something like that.
And then go out for tacos after we throw John Boehner out, rub it in the face. Right? That's what I would do.
Yeah, carne asada.
Yeah, okay. A lot of the Democrats are calling for John Boehner to resign over his racist comments about Mexican food. not liking Mexican food. Do you think that that's the right thing to do, is have him just step down? Should we really be tolerating such bigotry today?
Probably not,
since he should step down.
Yeah.
Did you hear about John Boehner's racist comments about not liking Mexican food? A lot of the Democrats are calling for him to resign for his racist statements. Do you think that we should tolerate that?
There shouldn't be no tolerance, but I really haven't heard about it.
So do you think it's the right thing to have him step down over those racist comments?
He should.
Yeah, he should step down.
All right, folks, I mean, that's a pretty, if I can go ahead and break in here, that's a pretty fair representative sampling. So you have Mark Dice there, who does these parodies of a man on the street interview. Mark Dice is actually a very knowledgeable libertarian activist, but in this week's installment of his very popular YouTube show, he was asking people, just as he met them on the street at the Santa Monica Pier in California, if John Boehner, who is one of the most politically correct wimps in the world, certainly in Republican leadership, and he is getting sullied and slimed as a racist for simply saying that in his own personal preference, he doesn't like Mexican food. He doesn't prefer Mexican food. You heard the reaction to that. We're going to get Keith's take on it when we come back. Is there any hope for anyone? Is racist, does that just simply mean a white person? We'll be back.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's dime at 866-986-6397.
Well, folks, we've long said that the word racist and racism no longer means what folks once thought it meant, which is an irrational hatred for people who don't look like you. That's not what the word means anymore. Now the word is just simply, and it was coined, of course, by communists and Marxists, and its sole purpose is to suppress the freedom of speech, to silence dissidents. Now the word is so liberally used that the modern day definition of racist is simply a white person, and racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like or that non-whites don't like. And I believe that it has become that simple. It's a socio-political nuclear bomb meant to stifle a healthy exchange of ideas and opinions. We are no longer an adult society. We've gotten to the point where if we ever disagree with anyone, I'm not saying we here in the political cesspool, but certainly our opponents, you just hurl the R word at them, call them a bigot or a xenophobe or a homophobe. God forbid you take a Christian stand on sodomy, or an anti-Semite. An anti-Semite is, of course, anyone that disagrees with a Jewish person. And this is the way discourse has regressed here in America, but you see it again in with a fine example out there in California. John Boehner, who's one of the most, as I said before the break, one of the most politically correct wimps in Washington. Now he is being accused of being a racist for simply suggesting that he doesn't personally prefer Mexican food, Keith.
So I guess you're required to lie in the interest of political correctness. It's not valid for any person to not like Mexican food, apparently. It's absolutely incredible. We have descended into a totalitarian existence here in the United States of America. Political correctness is a soft tyranny, as we've said before, but it is much more effective than the hard tyranny of the Soviet Union. We have less free speech in America today, I understand from certain people, than people enjoyed in the old Soviet bloc nations. You know, when you have a hard tyranny like communism, and hear that dreaded knock on the door at midnight and they drag you out and take you down to the basement of the Lubyanka and put a bullet in the base of your brain, that would engender an armed response. Political correctness doesn't operate that way. Instead, they derail people's careers, they derail their earning capacity, they prevent them from getting hired, they get them fired. They use all sorts of unofficial sanctions, and this apparently is a soft enough tyranny that people tolerate it, but it controls the behavior even more effectively than the old hard tyranny of the Soviet Union did. It's incredible. The left has come up with a solution to the Gordian knot. This is how they can enforce a totalitarian regime where no one is allowed to have a dissenting opinion from liberal orthodoxy without paying a heavy price. And as a result, young people don't want to join the conservative cause because they know that if you want to get the rewards and have financial security, you have to be a good card-carrying liberal in America. I'm afraid it's come to this now, James.
And now it's not just coming on the head of people like Boehner. If you say the wrong thing in a prominent enough position, your whole family will suffer. And I'm not talking about instances where people lose their job for being conservatives, you know, just like this incident we were talking about with the Home and Garden television host, these two brothers. I believe they were twins. They were Christian activists, very mainstream from what I've gathered so far. And we'll talk about this more or have an article about it up on the website next week. But they lost their television show, just like they very nearly canceled Duck Dynasty. I can't even remember what he said. It was very innocuous, very not controversial at all as far as I'm concerned. An expression of his Christian faith, and they nearly took down the Duck Dynasty, if you will, but they made so much money for that particular network that they reinstated them, and only because they were such a moneymaker, I might add, and also because the family had solidarity, they didn't turn on one another. Correct, Keith. But this HGTV, this new show on HGTV, you had these militant abortion activists complained to the network that they couldn't have such backwards thinking people like these two Christian brothers having a show. I believe in this show they are real estate investors and they flip houses and it's a show like that, but behind the scenes they are pro-life advocates. And you know, even being a pro-life advocate now can cost you your livelihood. This is what it's coming to. And you know, we saw the thing with the Clippers owner, Keith, and I'll turn it right over to you. You know, you can be free to disagree with him about what he said. I think what he said, yeah, what about what Michael Jordan said? Michael Jordan came out in a book this week that he said when he was growing up, he hated all white people. He actively worked against all white people. Now, this is, you know, no one ever asked him if he still does. I guess he doesn't hate white people too much because that's, you know, he married one. But, you know, the thing is, you know, they like white women, I guess, but they can hate white people. But, no, so Michael Jordan freely admitted that he hated white people. And of course, in their defense, you can't blame them for liking white women, as has been said. But no, you know, he says he absolutely hated white people, and not a word of controversy from that. But the Clippers owner, I think that was supermarket tabloid at best, not the biggest news story in the country. But now the NBA is stealing this man's property, or in the process of forcing him to sell that which is rightfully his. They will not even allow his wife. I was saying, you know, it has repercussions now for your family, your extended family. His wife actually came out and denounced her own husband. She says she doesn't agree with what he said. He's a racist. He's this and that. She hates him. And they're not even going to allow her to, you know, she's co-owner of the team because that's her he acquired that property after he had married her, right? So she's part owner. And now they're saying that she cannot even assume ownership because she was married to this guy, even though she publicly denounced him. And this is the anti-white gist that we see today.
I understand they're trying to sell the franchise to Oprah. And, of course, what did Oprah say recently? That basically older white people just need to die.
She said that.
So, you know, there's an what an incredible double standard we're facing today with all of this stuff. But, you know, again, political correctness is running rampant through the nation, and it is you know, it is not fine behavior, and it is squelching free speech. It is taking from us the inheritance that we have from the founders of this nation. I think Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, people like this would be spitting in their graves if they knew the totalitarianism that is running rampant in the United States today under the name of political correctness.
It's really getting sick, and it's getting scary, the likes of which the punishment can be for merely exercising your freedom of speech. You know, I've never read in the Bill of Rights or in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, where you can't say anything if it offends someone. But that's really what freedom of speech has come to. You can't say anything if it offends a minority. And let me tell you something, everything offends them. I don't know if you've been paying attention or not. Everything offends them.
But then on the other hand, you know, who are these people that are offended? We have these professional offendees like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, people like this. Apparently, you can't even have a career in the Republican Party now. John Boehner, as mainstream as he is, they're trying to grease the skids and basically sabotage his political career. And they're using, you know, the flimsiest pretext imaginable, a stray comment where he said, he left his own druthers, would prefer not to have Mexican food. And now you would think that he had called for the extermination of a race or something, you know, with the type of flap that's coming up. This is absurd. It's time for people to stand up and say, enough is enough. Let's support John Boehner. My goodness. If this type of comment can cost a man his career in politics, heaven help us all.
Well, I think certainly Boehner will survive this because it was just such a little. But, you know, it goes to show that they are continuing to expand that which is offensive speech and that which isn't. And again, everything's offensive to them unless you're just lavishing effusive praise on the left and on minorities. Then you better not open your mouth and you better just go along and get along. And I think the Sterling thing, it's such a high-profile example. you had better not speak out. You better not have any conservative musings, or else you can lose your job. You're going to be raked across the coals in the media. Your name's going to be mud. Well, take what's yours. And if you don't believe us, ask Donald Sterling. And Donald Sterling, of course, a Jewish guy, probably wondering, as we asked last week, why he's being cannibalized. He's supposed to be protected like the rest of them. Not in this case.
Well, he said he's Jewish, and he recognizes that Jewish people are very liberal, typically. And he says that is more proof that he's not a racist. But they're apparently trying to strip him of a multi-billion dollar investment, the Los Angeles Clippers, because of some comment. I've listened to the tape. It's obvious that he was being set up by this ex-girlfriend, okay? Well, anyway, whatever, you know, the thing is, it was extortion, pure and simple. And, you know, the fact that the NBA would want to be a part of this to help an extortionate plot succeed is baffling to me. I guess, you know, none of the old verities apply anymore, James.
Well, again, you had all these chronic malcontents. I mean, you're talking about a team. I think there's maybe one white player on his squad. I mean, he's made multimillionaires of so many minorities, but that's not good enough for him. It's never enough. You can't give him enough. You can't praise him enough. And a lifetime worth of liberal activism, in the case of Sterling, isn't going to get you a free pass if you say one sentence that they don't like. We'll take a break, folks. We'll be back.
Go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.